Anne Murray is in the studio with me, but before I greet her, I'm going to take her back to last Saturday night. And if any of you are watching the Festival of Families, this piece of music might bring back a memory.
The birds, they sing at the break of day. Start again, I heard them say. Don't dwell on what has passed away or what is yet to be. Yeah, the war, they will be fought again. The holy dove, she will be cut again. Bought and sold and bought again. The dove is never free. Ring the bells that still can ring.
And that there is Leonard Cohen's anthem, and last week it was performed by Patrick Bergen. I just decided to use that as an introduction to my next piece, and I'm delighted that Anne Murray is here in studio with me to reminisce a little bit about the World Meeting of Families and what it meant to her who was there all week. Anne, you're very welcome to the show.
Thanks a million, Dara. It's lovely to be here.
And it's lovely to meet you in the flesh, in person. We've spoken on the phone. This is our first time meeting. Anne, if I can just go back to next week, and I was in Croke Park, as you were. I was there with my mum. And when that piece of music came on and Pope Francis arrived, notwithstanding everything that has taken place over the last number of years and decades, but you could feel a real sense of emotion, almost a sense of healing when he arrived in Croke Park.
That's so true, Dara. And I mean, I suppose no more than most Irish Catholics, I was unsure what this whole World Meeting of Families was about. And my first taste of the joy and the excitement was when on the Tuesday night I went to Cove for the opening, because in the diocese all over the country there were opening ceremonies. And the cathedral was full, the choir was magnificent, the joy and the cross-section of people were there. It was just, and that was replicated all over the country, as I understand from friends of mine who were in different dioceses. And then the following day, to go to the RDS, not knowing what to expect. I'd been at the Eucharistic Congress for some of the days, but to go to the RDS and to be met by this sea of people from all countries, families, young and old. And what struck all of us from Ireland was the volume of families, babies in arms, toddlers, teenagers, from all corners of the world. We saw people from Costa Rica, South Africa, you name it. There was 115 different countries. And that we found very touching, that these people chose to come across the world, to come to the RDS, to explore what it is to be family, the joy of the gospel, as Pope Francis says, and to explore Amortis Laetitia and what it means in our time. And there were some wonderful topics. And that joy was there all week. It was just infectious. And of course, you know, the icing on the cake really was Croke Park, because I've never, ever experienced such a show as that. It was so, and I know many, many people listening watched it on TV, but to be there and as you hit the emotion, and even, you know, listening to Leonard Cohen there, my seats happened to be on the pitch. And we were so busy scrambling because we were right at the edge and the ropes were going up. So we knew the Holy Father was going to pass by, and it was kind of, how near can we get, you know, and it just, it was so touching. And the testimonies from the different families. And one, I suppose, that strikes me is that couple from Ireland. They were both heroin addicts. They married. They have a family, you know.
Quite a large family,
yeah,
actually.
Yeah, exactly. And also, there was that family from Iraq. And the priest that was murdered, their son, you know, he had a connection with Ireland. He was in the Irish College in Rome. So it kind of really made us realise how we're all connected as family. And, you know, that those Mexican waves at the start while we were waiting for the show to start.
That was some of the most disjointed Mexican waves I've ever seen. Because it started over on the Cusack stand, came around to the Hogan stand where I was with my mum, and I'm looking around at people and thinking, have they got a heartbeat at all? Would you ever stand up?
I would agree, but doesn't it show the difference in cultures? I mean, we're so different in Ireland. We didn't know how to react. It was the same in the RDS during the week because we were only 50% or less of the attendance. I mean, one of my memories is the opening mass on the Wednesday and, you know, the anthem, Love, I can't remember the name of it now, you know, the hymn for the World Meeting of Families, that was sung at the end by the choir and it was just amazing. And my memory is of families, not too sure what nationality, they could have been Spanish, they could have been South American, but they were there singing after Mass ended, waving their flags. Now that's alien to most Irish people, but that's the joy of the gospel, the joy of being together as family and supporting each other in our ups and downs. And that was very much.
You raise an interesting point there, Anne, because it's something that I've experienced travelling to America, but also travelling to places like Japan, South Korea, that people there of a Catholic faith, of a Christian faith, when they go to worship, they really go to worship. And the music is, there's a bit of a tempo to it and they're moving with it. And you're right, it's somewhat alien to Ireland because we're more kind of almost rigid in a sense. But one of the highlights for me on Saturday night, I know there was a lot of anger out there. There was a lot of negativity surrounding the whole meeting of families. And I could really feel the hurt and pain, almost a sense of rejection from people within the LGBT community that they weren't included. However, on the Saturday night, when Kathy Jordan came out to sing Rainy Night in Soho, and there were dancers on the stage, I turned to the girl on my right, I said, are you looking at what I'm looking at? Two men dancing together, two women dancing together. They embraced at the end and made the sign, the heart sign of love. I felt there and then was a statement that everybody was welcome.
Well, this is it, Anissa. I think this is something that, you know, was certainly emphasised all during the week and something maybe we haven't been strong enough as Catholics, especially here in Ireland, at understanding and indeed probably worldwide. We all have our biological family, the family we were born into, the family we grew up with. But we also have, by virtue of our baptism, we're all connected as one big family, the family of the church, and all are welcome in love. We know in families there's ups and downs, but what we're being asked is to meet where people are at and to journey with them. We all have a different journey of faith and we need to accept that. There's no such thing as all, you know, you still obviously keep the basic, I suppose, not so much rules because I don't like saying that, but, you know, I think it's to explore our faith and to learn and understand why the church teaches as it does. Because when you begin to, there's great freedom in the teaching of the church. And we're called to love and love each and every person as God loves each and every one of us and has created each and every one of us in love.
And maybe we focus too much at times on the negative and not enough on the positive.
Oh, completely, completely. We need to really... You know, we all hold truth, goodness and beauty within us. And in our daily lives, in our conversations, wouldn't it be a wonderful world if we could look at the positive, look at the goodness, because there's goodness in each and every person. We all, you know, make mistakes. We don't, you know, live up to things. But that's the challenge of being a Christian. You fall, you kind of pick yourself up. I'm sorry, I'll try and do better. And if we keep practicing, you know, we try and get better. But nobody's perfect. The only person that's perfect is God.
Well, you know, you're talking about the world there, and the eyes of the world were literally on the Phoenix Park on Sunday, but also on Saturday evening, much was mentioned and spoken about the meeting of Pope Francis with abusers of clerical abuse and also survivors of the mother and baby homes. Now, as somebody myself who was adopted from a mother and baby home, I had a real connection to that. We didn't know Saturday night what took place, how that meeting went. But on Sunday morning in the Phoenix Park, when Pope Francis scripted his own message, which he spoke in Spanish, threw a lot of people off. When he spoke to mothers and he spoke to children, that it was never a mortal sin. I cried for my birth mother, I cried for so many mothers and children out there. And I suppose that leads beautifully into the fact that not everybody had the strength to go to Phoenix Park. They wanted to remember those who were lost, those who were lost in the most horrible of ways. And I'm talking about innocent babies, innocent children. And in a lot of churches, not just here in Youghal, but all around the country, little baby shoes were put on the gates of churches, maybe as a sort of a statement, but also to try and get people to, you know, realise, hold on a while, there's a lot of hurt out there yet, and these innocents need to be recognised, they deserve a Christian burial. And I was totally blown away, absolutely blown away, with the news that came out of Youghal here, right here, yesterday evening. A momentous step, a tiny step, but a momentous step of courage, with one of our priests here reaching out to one of those who was putting up those little baby boots or shoes on the gates to welcome them in, and let's have a memorial service. I cried listening to that. And okay, maybe the Pope didn't provide all the answers that people wanted, but this is a statement that right here in the community is where we must begin to extend that healing hand.
And that's so true. And I suppose, again, linking back to the World Meeting of Families, we were challenged, those of us that were there, to go back to our communities and bring that message of family back to our communities. And I was in the Phoenix Park, and to hear Pope Francis going through that penitential rite, it was so emotional and so right. And, you know, he was applauded each time. And the thing is, as a mother, I suppose I can't even begin to feel what it was like, because I haven't lived your experience and others' experience. But what I do know, as a mum, that I never ever want to see a child hurt in our church again. And for that reason, I, like many others, have become involved in safeguarding committees in our parishes. And what I suppose what I have begun to realise, I think, you know, we're paralysed because we don't know how to react. It's like in any family, and the church is our family. So you bring it back to your family that you live with. There's a serious problem, but we don't know very often how to react. We all react in different ways. And I think essentially that's what has happened in these years since the disclosure of the abuses. We haven't dealt with the pain of those that have suffered. We haven't dealt with it very well. We haven't acknowledged it. And very often because we can't believe. I remember a man who was abused as a child, and he's quite elderly now, and he's speaking to me about it. And he said, I was a child in the sacristy and that priest abused me. And he went on the altar, and he is the persona of Christ on the altar. I mean, that's so damaging. Now, thankfully, that man has gone through a lot of healing, and he has forgiven, and he helps a lot of other survivors. But it gave me a small insight into what damage has been inflicted to the church. And isn't it no wonder that people are angry and have turned away? And I was so, so glad when I heard about this coming Sunday in Youghal, that the baby shoes will be taken down. They will be part of the Mass at 12 o'clock as a token. And it's a starting point. And it's only a tiny starting point in saying how much we are sorry for what was done. And the worst obviously has been done to the abusers, but as a church, and I feel as a church member, I'm also suffering, because you just,
the worst
so
has
hard.
Been done to the abused rather than
yes,
the abusers.
Sorry. Yeah, exactly. You know, the abused have been so damaged, but we all at some way have suffered. And it's like a virus in the church. And if you think about it, when we have a flu virus, if we don't look after ourselves and if we don't take care and turn things around, we'll still be down. So I just think it's wonderful that here in Youghal, in the oldest church in the diocese, that, you know, in a diocese that suffered because of the whole child abuse, that now we can begin to at least put a tiny step forward and maybe begin to start the healing process that is so badly needed for those who were abused, for those who, you know, who were in mother and baby homes, for the way we didn't treat people right. And that maybe we now, those of us going to church, finally begin to appreciate where people are coming from in their anger and hurt.
And Anna, I think it's also good to say that what is happening on Sunday is by no means wiping the slate clean.
Absolutely not.
I mean, there are others out there who are responsible for this hurt and this pain. They need to be held accountable. You spoke about belief. I know when my mum adopted me, there was a nun involved. And we come from an era where you believed everything that the nun or the priest told you was sacrosanct. You did not question it. And mum would be one of those who's deeply, deeply loves her faith. And I can tell you her faith was shocked to discover that the news or the information that that nun gave my mother was a pack of lies. And I don't hold back in stating that. So, you know, what's happening on Sunday, I think, can actually have a benefit for a huge amount of people.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes, victims of abuse, paramount, totally. But for all those mothers out there and all those children, and particularly I'm minded of the children that were buried in Besborough, in the Good Shepherd, in Seanras Abbey, in Tuam, and all the mother and baby homes around the country. They're the ones we have to remember as well. And as a community of faith, we must take some of that responsibility in reaching out and saying, come, we are sorry, but let us try and take that step together.
Yeah. We really, yeah, that's exactly it. It's to hold out the hand. And I suppose, isn't it wonderful that Kirsty and the women that were involved in hanging up the shoes here in Youghal had the strength of character to hold out the hand that was shown to them and say, you know, we'll start this journey and accept Canon Hurley's offer of bringing the shoes into the church.
Well, the two people that I'm going to mention right now that we owe a great debt of gratitude to, Kirsty Murphy, you know, obviously she has her own story that needs to be heard, but she was there to do her little bit. Then you had Canon O'Herlihy, who obviously, listening to him this morning with PJ Coogan in 96, I could hear the emotion in his voice. His voice was shaking. But he took that leap of faith to reach out to Kirsty, and somewhere along that way, they came together to plan what can only be what I would call as a tiny step on a journey to a miracle, a journey of healing. I know Kirsty will be in with Noel tomorrow, but I suppose maybe we can finish on a positive note that Youghal is the place to be, 12 o'clock on Sunday in St. Mary's Church. Come everybody, come all are welcome.
Yeah, I think it's wonderful, and it's wonderful. I mean, Youghal is at the bottom of the alphabet, Y, and very often we get overlooked.
Thankfully there's no Z.
We get overlooked in a lot of things, but isn't it wonderful that we're leading the way in this? And again, so fitting, in an old town where our church was built before Catholic emancipation, where there was that openness and generosity of spirit to all faiths. So, you know, it would be lovely to see as many people as possible at 12 o'clock Mass on Sunday in the parish church.
And thanks for coming in.